بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Amma ba'd. Ulama-i kiram, respected elders, brothers, and all who are listening on the receivers and the audio streaming, Alhamdulillah, we are now past the great and blessed and auspicious month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our good deeds of the month of Ramadan. All our fasting, our taraweeh, our tilawat, our zikr, our charities, all our good actions and deeds, our itikaf, our searching for Laylatul Qadr, our Sadaqatul Fitr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all these good deeds and reward us and put it in our scale on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and overlook whatever mistakes or shortcomings there were from our side in this great and auspicious and Mubarak month of Ramadan. Now that Ramadan is over, we have now entered the 10th month of the Islamic calendar, and that is the month of Shawwal. And Shawwal, also a month that has importance in the calendar. The first day of Shawwal is a big day in the Islamic calendar. It is the day of Eid al-Fitr. It is the day of the giving out of the charity. It is the day of the additional salah, the Eid salah that is performed with the 6 extra takbir. It is the day of proclaiming the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the repeated zikr of the takbir at tashriq. And that is how this day of Eid, a great day, a day of ibadah, a day of joy, a day of rejoicing, a day of happiness, a day of unity of the community, a day of unifying of the families, getting together, socializing, visiting each other. So that was a great day in the beginning of the month of Shawwal. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enhance our rewards and to increase the sawab of our ibadah of Ramadan, gave us the 6 fast of Shawwal. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that man sama Ramadan thumma atba'u sitta min Shawwal kana ka siyami dahri, aw kama qala alayhi salam, the one who fasted Ramadan and then he followed up with 6 fast of Shawwal, it is as if he fasted for the whole year. Why? Because the principle in the Holy Quran is man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha, he who does one good, Allah multiplies it by 10. That is the minimum multiplication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. So for every fast of Ramadan, the principle of man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha applies. So 30 fast of Ramadan equal to 300 fast, and 6 fast of Shawwal equal to 60 fast. And if we add the two, 360, that is the number of days in the year. So fasting Ramadan and following it up with the 6 fast of Shawwal, it is as if a person fasted for the entire year. This is the sheer mercy and the kindness and the grace and the beneficence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do so little and He gives us back so much. Imagine a person working in a factory or in a shop or in an office, and the boss tells him, look here, you work for 36 days in the year, but we'll pay you for the whole year. He will say, you're in a dream world, in a dreamland. Where is that going to happen? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fast for that 36 days, but He's going to give us the reward of 360. That is how kind and how merciful and generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So my dear friends, the month of Shawwal has arrived. It is the month of the sixth fast. And then also it is the beginning of the season of Hajj. The season of Hajj commences on the first of Shawwal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has followed up one great ibadah and one fundamental of Islam, one of the five pillars of Islam, fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala followed it up immediately with the next pillar of Islam, and that is the Hajj. So that one ibadah following upon another ibadah, and so the Hujjaj will now be getting ready to proceed, inshallah, for the journey of a lifetime for many, going for their Hajj, their first Hajj, and they're already starting to make the preparations. The lists are already out, and they're already choosing their agents and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all Hajj mabrur and maqbool, and make it easy for them, and accept all their du'as there for themselves and for us, inshallah. Those that stay behind, they will make du'a for all of us. And as we know, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the hajis are the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever the delegation presents, it is on behalf of the entire community. If we send a delegation to the president or to the parliament or to the council or wherever, they are representing everybody else. So the hajis, they are representing the whole ummah. The whole ummah is being represented by the hujjaj. So nevertheless, the hujjaj will also be proceeding, getting ready, and they will be starting to leave very soon, inshallah. The first flights of the hujjaj will be departing. So this is all the month of Shawwal. Then also, one very important thing about Shawwal is that in the days of ignorance and jahiliyyah, they had this false belief, and they had the superstition that you shouldn't get married in Shawwal because there's bad luck in Shawwal. And if you get married in Shawwal, then the marriage could break up and there won't be happiness and success in that marriage. This was the superstition that prevailed in the days of Jahiliyyah, days of ignorance, Jahala, when there was no knowledge of Islam, there was no guidance of Islam. People were in darkness. They had no idea what was right, what was wrong. They had no correct beliefs. They had no proper convictions. They their whole lives survived on suspicion, on superstition, on doubts, on fears, because they had no Allah in their life. They had no beliefs in their life. So it was all about superstition. People were so influenced and affected by superstition that any silly thing would put fear into them. A person intended to travel somewhere. He came out of his house. He saw a black cat crossing the road. Oh, finish. Go back home. Can't travel. Why? No, bad luck. Bad luck. Bad luck. A person came, he had to do something. One black crow went past. Oh, the bad luck. Stop whatever we're planning to do. Put a stop to it. This was the state of the minds of the people because of jahalat, because of ignorance. And this was the type of ignorance that prevailed in Ayyamul Jahiliyyah. Allah has brought Deenul Islam to remove all these things. It is still very unfortunate, my dear friends, that despite having the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah and this beautiful deen, Yet we find there are still vestiges of superstitions in our community in certain things. Just take that out of our minds completely. Remove all superstitions. There's no place in Islam for superstitions. La tiyarata fil Islam. There's no superstitions in Islam. Islam does not believe in superstition. So therefore, this was a superstitious belief. They had this foolish belief that if you got married between two Eids, that is this Eid al-Fitr and the Eid al-Adha, then there'll be bad luck in the marriage, and the marriage won't work out, the marriage won't succeed. So they would discourage marriage at that time. But subhanallah, when Islam came, then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to remove all these superstitions. That there's no such thing like bad luck, and there's no superstition in Islam. And there's no bad omens. They used to take bad omens. But yes, the beauty of Islam is there are good omens in Islam. You must take a good meaning of something. And that is something that is from the Sunnah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to take good omens. When something positive came in front of him, he took a good sign out of it. He took something a positive, because the thinking of a believer is always positive. We are always on the positive side. We are not negative, and we are not people who are fearful and all of that. We are positive about everything. So we find that when anything came in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was negative, he would shun it and say, no, don't take any bad sign out of it. But when something positive came, say a person came in the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, as an example, one of the people that came to represent the Quraysh was a person by the name of Suhail. Later on he accepted Islam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But obviously at the time when he arrived, he was not a believer. But when he came, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a positive sign, and he said, Suhail comes from the word sahal in Arabic, which means easy. Maybe Allah is going to make the matter easy for us. So he took a positive mindset. Though, this is the interesting part that we need to listen to the conclusion here. Though, it was not easy at all. In fact, he was very hard in the deal. And he was very, very hard in bargaining. And the Sahaba were getting irritated and frustrated with his mannerism. He was very hard, and he didn't want to budge. But despite that, when he arrived, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam already took a good sign. Of course, later on everything turned around and things worked out for the better. So we see that in Islam, one must look at the positive of things and take a good sign. Now we find that this superstitious belief of marriage in Shawwal. So what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, not only did he preach the message and the correct message, but then he practically demonstrated that there is no reality in these things. And so Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed nikah to me in the month of Shawwal. In the month of Shawwal. And we know that then he consummated the marriage sometime later, and that also was in the month of Shawwal. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that which of his wives were more beloved to him than I, and the fact that he chose to marry me in Shawwal is indicative of the fact that there was no harm and nothing wrong in doing a nikah in Shawwal. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically smashed that idea by doing the nikah in Shawwal, so that practically he can show to the ummah that have your nikahs in Shawwal. There's nothing wrong in having the nikah in Shawwal. So I want to congratulate our brother Shabir Salwa and his family that straight after Ramadan, alhamdulillah, month of Shawwal, this nikah is taking place. And actually, in a way, it is also a resemblance of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha used to go to the extent of having the nikah of the girls in her family perform in the month of Shawwal, just to practically demonstrate that there's nothing wrong, and to break this wrong concept and idea that had crept into the minds of people, she would get the nikahs performed in the month of Shawwal. And the reality of the matter is, my dear brothers, the problems of a marriage and trouble in a marriage and disturbance and all these turbulences in marriage, it's got nothing to do about when or where you have the marriage. It's got nothing to do with that. But it's got to do with how we go about the marriage. That is where the problems can arise. Not when and where we have the marriage. You can have the marriage anywhere. You can have it at any time. That doesn't make a difference. But what's going to make the difference is how we go about the marriage, how we go about things before the marriage. Starts off from before. How we conduct ourselves before, long before the marriage. And how obedient we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and all of that before marriage. Then at the time of marriage, the days of the marriage, the days before, immediately after, how we conduct ourselves. And then after that, for the rest of our lives, how we conduct ourselves. That, the how part, is what matters the most. And when think about marriage, my dear friends, as a journey of a lifetime, like life is a journey, marriage is also a journey, and it's a lifetime journey. And now we are on the route now. We are going to be traveling on the road of marriage, and our destination is right till Jannah, to reach there inshallah as a happy and married couple. And on a lighter note, I just thought of something. This was not a Muslim marriage. These were non-Muslims. So just to give an example, that now after they died, now they say that husband and wife ended up in paradise. So the wife came running to meet the husband. He said, "Hey, why you came to me now?" She said, "No, but weren't we married in the world?" He said, "Yeah, but I think it said till death does us part. So I didn't expect you to come and join me here now, because you're supposed to have parted with me from the time of death. But that's for them, not for us. For us, after death, when we enter Jannah, we must be together there. There we're not going to run away from one another. And we're not going to say till death do us part. We are going to be there after we all enter into Jannah. Hum wa azwajuhum fi zilalin ala al-ara'iki muttaki'un lahum fiha fakihatun wa lahum ma yad'un salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will be there, them and their wives, their spouses, they will be reclining on the sofas and settees and couches of Jannah. There will be beautiful shades there. There'll be water, there'll be drinks, there will be food, there will be everything. And as I mentioned, that there, the one thing you won't have in Jannah, that is a kitchen for cooking. I don't know if the ladies still want the kitchen. If they want, Allah will give them the kitchen too. The kitchen, whatever we desire, whatever you ask for in Jannah, Allah will give you. So if they want their kitchen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them their kitchen, but they won't have to go to cook the chicken in the kitchen, because that will be ready cooked and ready made and supplied. It will be fully catered. Jannah will be fully catered, alhamdulillah. Everything will be provided for, and nobody will have to go and do anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have the servants of Jannah moving around with the trays and platters and serving, and you know, whatever you wish for, you desire for, the fruits and the sweetmeats and the flesh and the meat and the whatever delicacies there are in Jannah, it will be just at the click of a finger, it will be provided. So there we will be together inshallah with our wives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unite us all there together. in that also is a lesson for us to ponder and reflect about what's the point fighting in this world when we're going to be there together. What benefit is it? Rather live happily here too, live in harmony here, because there we're going to have to live in harmony. So we rather start practicing from here and live in harmony, live happily as a couple here inshallah, so that we're practicing how we will be living in Jannah as a couple inshallah ta'ala. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this couple and all couples lot of happiness in their marriage, lot of barakah in their marriage, lot of love, unity, and all the qualities of success Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them. So before I can conclude and we make the nikah, I just want to mention again that marriage is a journey and the destination is Jannah. And now whenever we're going to take a very long journey, then people prepare themselves well in advance. They try to get whatever they need to get ready for that journey. They get acquainted with the route they have to take. Before, people had maps. You opened up your map and you started looking at your map and seeing, oh, how many kilometers from here to that town? I'm going to fill petrol here. Then I'll carry on. The next stop will be there. Especially if it's a long journey, right? Then we start planning and I'm going to stop for Salah here and I'll have my pot course there and this is what I'm going to do. We plan. Now we don't have map books anymore. You hardly see that anymore. But we've got Google Maps. And we got all these garments and all of these things. So that's for the route that we have to take. And then once you start the engine and you start moving in your vehicle, then you also have voice prompts. Right? Most of the time it's those aunties that are quite irritating because they can give you wrong directions sometimes. Don't always listen to that prompt. But that's a separate thing. So the voice prompt is directing us. In 400 meters, take the roundabout, and the first left, and the next right, and carry on for another 1 kilometer, and then turn left here, and turn right there. So we're getting the voice prompts. So that is the journey of marriage. There are two things. One is the road map of Quran and Sunnah. And the other is the voice prompts of the ulama and the scholars. So that if we got these two things, inshallah, we'll reach our destination. Sometimes we got the map, but now we can't read the map properly, so we could get lost. But then there's the voice prompts that are directing us. Bayans, lectures, nasiha, advisors. Those are the voice prompts that are leading us in that direction, the right direction. And then, mashallah, we're on the road. Sometimes you're going to have certain bad patches, so a lot of potholes, especially if you're married in South Africa. Then they say some countries you drive to the right, on the right side, some countries you drive on the left hand side of the road, and in South Africa you drive on whatever is left of the road. And some people become, as they say, you know, PhD drivers. What's a PhD driver? Pothole dodger. You learn how to dodge the potholes, especially we know the state of our roads now after the floods and so on. May Allah make it easy for all those who went through a lot of difficulty and hardship and losses during the recent devastating floods that we had here. So nevertheless, that is the journey of marriage. Sometimes beautiful scenery, sometimes very dry patches, sometimes very highway we are motoring, and sometimes very bumpy roads. But end of the day, we have to reach the destination. So don't worry about the route and don't worry about the road. As long as you got your map and as long as you got your prompts and you're moving, inshallah, you will reach your destination. So inshallah, we would like now to call the nikah parties up and we will do the nikah now, inshallah.